This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, it's Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Frida Liu. I'm joined in the studio by...
Lily Chai.
Oh, Lily Chai and...
Arvind Yuvaraj.
Normally on Friday, I say it's Friday, but our topic today is about not feeling so good right now. Anyway, before we continue, if you have any comments and you know, you'd like to chime in, you can always get hold of us on Twitter at BFM Radio, also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. So we're talking about, you know, if you're not feeling so good, if you're feeling sadder, more worried and anxious over the past few years, you're not alone. With uncertainty continuing to make the future feeling bleak and unpredictable, Gallup's latest global emotion report showed that our negative experience index has been pushed to a new high in 2021. No surprises. Can we bounce back from feeling negative? How does it affect our work? How can we recover from stress? And Dr. Anasuya Jayadevi-Jagadesan will be joining us in just a bit. She's a Dean of Psychology and Social Sciences from University of Cyberjaya. I was just commenting on Lily to Lily earlier today. I said, have you seen the bags under my eyes? You know, they've just grown larger in the last 2 years. Now, if you're feeling sadder, more worried, more anxious over the past few years, you're not alone. So again, this is the Gallup's latest global emotions report. They delivered a full plate of uncertainty to us. The world has become a slightly sadder, more worried and more stressed out place than it was the year before. You know, of course, we hear stories about the Japanese PM being shot, the UK Prime Minister leaving, right? And so these experiences of stress, worry and sadness ticked upward in 2021 and set new records. This helped Gallup's negative experience index to push another new high of 33 in 2021. In 2021, 4 in 10 adults worldwide said experienced a lot of worry, that's 42%, or stress, and slightly more than 3 in 10 experienced a lot of physical pain. More than 1 in 4 experienced sadness, and slightly fewer experienced anger. And positive experience index drops for first time in years. Fewer people reported that they had positive experiences.
Oh, these are such Friday stats for Friday afternoon.
And you've seen my bags, Arvind.
Wonderful stuff. So Gallup's report is in line with Malaysians' emotions because it was stated in the Malaysia's Employee Wellness Report 2022 that almost 60% of workers agree feeling burnt out from their work in the last 3 months. The report also found that 50% of employees felt that their companies were very supportive, quote-unquote, of their mental health, which is great news, I guess. However, the other 50% of workers still felt uncomfortable discussing mental health issues in the workplace, fearing that it would lead to repercussions. In fact, more than 50% of workers also agree that there is no budget for mental health support services at their workplace. And it is also important to note that half of the workers also said that the pandemic had made Malaysians place their careers lower on the priority list. So this is something we spoke about even early on during the first MCO. Right. And it is clear a clear signal that more workers would be seeking employment in a different industry or moving to a different way of working.
Really?
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And workplace stress is still a silent killer of employee health and productivity. Well, having a job in some way is like you having achievements, feeling that satisfaction from your job. Yeah, it does improve an individual's health and overall attitude towards life. But many people face significant stress in the workplace that outweighs any possible benefits and even poses a threat to their health. And stress levels vary between professions and population groups. Studies reveal that younger workers, women, and those in lower skilled jobs are at most risk of experiencing work-related stress and its attendant complications.
So younger workers, Lily, is it true?
That is true, actually.
So a study was... I'm trying to, you know, relay the story in as positive a way as possible. So a study was conducted on young women professionals who are in the early stages of career and shows that these women are more stressed and may feel that it may work to their disadvantage to reveal these issues. Deloitte India stated that young women professionals may be more hesitant to be vocal about stress, burnout, mental health, perhaps fearing that they may be interpreted as a sign of weakness and impact their career growth. Across surveyed geographies, very few women say that their organizations have implemented resources to support employees' mental well-being. One of the key reasons for the high levels of stress and burnout is women finding it difficult to switch off from work because they fear that their career progression will be adversely impacted.
And on top of that, another thing is, while money is a stressor, women are more stressed than men, it seems, according to the report. So according to a recent Bankrate poll in the US, more than 2 in 5, or roughly more than 45% of women, say that money issues have negatively affected their mental health, prompting feelings of anxiety, depression, sleeplessness, and stress. This number compares to less than 40% of men. Common financial situations like checking bank accounts and facing unexpected expenses, these are also more likely to trigger negative emotions for women than men.
Right. And experts say that the results highlight concerns bigger than just women and their individual financial choices. Many of them tie to long-standing pay disparities between men and women. President of Harris & Harris Wealth Management Group said, "This is the impact of women not making as much money as men, and the pandemic also derailed the progress of gender pay gap." Now, women are also disproportionately more likely to assume caregiving responsibilities than men. Hence, caregiving is also a source of stress that women feel.
Right. This is also something that not people talk a lot about, and it's that menstrual leave. Actually, women, you know, some women actually face very challenging times during their menstrual sessions, and it's something that's also not addressed and something they don't feel comfortable talking to their boss about. And but the, you know, the struggle is real for a lot of women, right? So on the other hand, right, on top of all this, the soaring cost of living is heightening the risk of employees suffering from mental health problems. 2 out of 3 UK employees say money worries affect their mental health, while 3 out of 5 mentioned financial distress and affecting their performance at work. What's worse is money worries exacerbate health problems. So a survey found that almost 1 in 5 people being treated for mental health problems missed their healthcare appointment because they could not afford to go.
On the flip side of that, workplace stress not only affects employees, but it also has adverse effects on company performance as well. The effects of job-related strain are evident in workers' physical health, mental health, and behavior. With these attendant health effects, workplace stress reduces employee productivity, increases absenteeism, and a number of days taken off work for stuff like doctor's visits, and increases healthcare costs incurred by the employers, not the employees. So Employment Hero also mentioned in their report Wellness at Work 2022 that work-life balance can be threatened by stress and uncertainty, leading to burnout. And more than 50% of Malaysian workers have experienced a burnout in the past 3 months.
The survey also further states that what Malaysians want from their employers are these practices at work. The first one is encourage duvet days when employees don't feel like coming to work. And the second is to have counselling available for free. And lastly is to encourage coping therapy sessions and wellness perks.
Okay, so today should have been duvet day for me, but I turned up anyway. So what was it like for you guys, you know, I mean, 2020, 2021, right? Did increase your stress level? So I'll ask the boy born in the 80s.
Nola, walk in the park, you know, easy, breezy couple of years. This has been, you know, no problems at all. I think the report is just like echoing what everybody has been feeling for the last 2.5 years. Definitely like heightened stress, because it's not just work, right? So now you have to worry about the pandemic, you have to worry about your health, and you're not just worrying about your health, you're worrying about the health of others, your loved ones, your family, the older people in your family. It's a lot, like, and then you know, just thinking about, should I go out? Should I stay in? Should I not do something? Should I gather with friends? You know, the social aspect, no social aspect. I think all those things add up. And then at the end of the day, because work is such a big part of our lives, right? That takes like the biggest hit, and that's where it's reflected. I also wanted to say, though, that about the, you know, the financial strain and checking the ATM, my coping mechanism is that you just don't check your bank balance. You
know, that is dangerous, Orphan.
You get your salary, and then whenever you're tapping your debit card, you know, you just hope and pray that it goes through.
I hope this meal is covered for. Otherwise, you know, I know how to wash dishes.
I know how to wash dishes. Yep.
Lily?
Right. I think 2021, I isolated myself a lot in the room most of the time. And I think I had a lot of conversations with myself in the head. And that is not very healthy.
And this is a child, I mean, this is a colleague who's born in, you know, this century, right? And that's her viewpoint. As I was saying, right, I already mentioned about my situation. I do have, and maybe it's just age or whatever, you know, the concerns are different because, like, Arvin, you're married. For me, I have a son that's almost, well, in university. So the concerns are different. I'm a single mother. The concerns are different, and a lot of prep, I guess, for me would have been done earlier. But of course, you know, it's at the back of your mind. You can't run away from it because it's everywhere around you. You know, so we're going to be speaking to Dr. Anasuya Jayadevi Jagadesan from University of Cyberjaya to just, you know, to understand a little bit about this more. And that's going to be happening after this. Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Behind Famous Men. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu together with Lily Chai and Arvin Yuvaraj. We're talking, it's Friday, Enterprise Business. We're talking about a study that came out from Global's latest Global Emotions Report that shows that the negative experience index has been pushed to a new high in 2021. No, it's no surprise that this has happened, but I guess, you know, what can be done? What can alter this? What's going through people's minds at the moment, literally? So we're having this discussion. We'd like your feedback as well. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 on ways know that you've overcome this. But we'd like to hear from Dr. Anasuya Jayadevi Jagadesan, Dean of Psychology and Social Sciences from University of Cyberjaya. Thanks, Dr. Anna, for staying on the line. You know, we just want to get your feedback on this. You know, according to the Gallup Global Emotions Report 2022, people's negative experience, which includes sadness, stress and worry index records for 2021, is higher than ever before. What are the practical and effective workplace interventions that could help reduce employees' stress level?
Try to get, for some of the staff, you know, caregiving for the kids. Childcare is one of the most important things. And if your company is big enough, and if you have a lot of young people in your company, you know, the best ways to reduce stress is at least have some kind of daycare or childcare or hourly care where, I mean, there can be a minimal pay or a discounted pay for the staff. Another thing that can be done, you have some flexibility in time in the workplace. Oh, I clock time. Every 2 minutes I'm late, I get a letter. Come on, you know, that kind of thinking has to go, but it's more on flexible time. So that, all right, as long as you've finished your job and you've done your job properly, hit your KPIs, then no issues. You know, the productivity is the issue, not so much the punching the clock. Instead of looking at, you know, how do we best keep productivity, it's more like, let's make sure the numbers of, oh, staff coming on time look pretty, regardless of the fact that if, you know, they're forcing them to come in, they're more stressed out when they come in, they're grumpy, they're not so productive, so the first few hours is non-productive. Sometimes it's simple things like that can help reduce staff stress. You know, having a supportive work environment, making sure that no workplace bullying is going on, having some level of fun among staff, you know, making sure that staff welfare is cared for, trying not to control staff to the point where, you know, they can't be friends with other colleagues. All areas of mental health and social health that will keep staff happy and healthy. If you go and have a workplace environment that's toxic, and if bosses contribute to it by, you know, by blatantly comparing staff in front of other people, by putting people down, by, you know, increasing suspicion and increasing separation among staff. You can't talk to this department, you can't work with this department. You need to take a look at your department. You need to take a look at your division and say, okay, what's wrong here? You know, these kinds of things create stress. They create toxic workplace environment that is not healthy for anybody.
So, Dr. Anasu, from the Employee Wellness Report 2022, 50% of workers still felt uncomfortable discussing mental health issues in the workplace because they feared it would lead to repercussions. So why are the doors still shut for some companies, and what could employers do to further open the door for this conversation?
Doors for mental health are shut because, and it's not just workplace, it's also culture. A lot of Malaysian culture is still stigmatizes mental health. It still stigmatizes getting help and needing help. the stigma is in culture, then it does seep into the workplace. And in fact, some workplaces have been critical in breaking this idea that having mental health support is an issue. Is that within the workplace, people are afraid of getting help. And it would be because, you know, the company doesn't do or is not has not never done any talks on mental health and saying that it's okay if the company has seemed to have punished people who have had mental health issues and who have asked for a break or asked for holidays because of mental health issues. Then the company also, if there's gossiping, one of the biggest issues is if the HR staff or managers gossip about, you know, personal issues. If a staff happens to bring up a personal issue and talk to the manager or talk to HR about a personal issue, oh, you know, this is gossip fodder, it's so interesting, I need to share. That type of thing happens, then you know that you can't talk about your problems in the workplace, you can't share in the workplace, and, you know, mental health becomes suspicious. But when you have a strong staff support and employee support modules or employee support network where you are linking up with external counseling or external mental health groups and you provide full-on support for your staff, then staff are more willing to approach it. A lot of it comes from the idea of, as the head, so is the tail. If the behavior of the bosses and the behavior of higher-ups, they are serious about mental health and they make comments of, you know, it is good to have support. Yeah, I know some of my family may have had some casual, don't have to say who in the family, just some of the family, hints that it's okay from bosses, may actually carry, quite a lot of weight among staff to say, oh, well, if it's okay for the boss's family, then it has to be okay for me. Do a culture change in the workplace. It's incremental, small changes, right, rather than a one-off big show production. Mm. But if you make slow incremental changes and people see that you're sticking to those changes, culture will change. You know, change will take place.
I like that, right? Small incremental changes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Right. Doctor, companies that have no budget for mental health support in their workplace rose from 42% to 51%. So what could companies with no budget do to take care of their employees' welfare?
Let's be honest, having food on the table and making sure that the company is in good standing is very important as well. No point having mental health of the company if the company is in the red. The mental health work comes from when companies are in good standing and companies are maintaining their good standing. If your company is doing okay, but it really doesn't have that extra funds for mental health work, these, like I said earlier, it's these small incremental activities that helps people maintain a balanced mental health. Productivity, we all know, one of some of the best countries in the world to look at in terms of mental health and productivity is Japan. And Japan has things like, you know, exercise for the staff, a quick move activity. Everybody stands up and move. And we all know that exercise helps, but our lifestyle is such, we just don't move. So when the whole office is forced to move, there's no extra budget involved in 5 minutes of movement. Another thing a company with no real budget can do is keep the talk of mental health positive. Managers talk about it in a positive light. Do not gossip about staff issues and other issues that you may know about because you're in a place of privilege. Do not go and create a negative workplace environment where staff are competing with staff for their own small department or for their own KPI rather than looking at the overall health of the company. And the company as well understands that, you know, if the staff sometimes needs a little bit of flexibility in their workplace. One of the biggest things that helps people is flexibility. It's having an idea that, you know what, my company's got my back. Long as I have, yes, there's a certain expected behavior. If I'm meeting that certain expected behavior, if I'm doing my part, then, you know, on the days where I really need some help, I really need some support, the company will support. And, you know, that goes a long way for people to feel safe within their company.
Sound practical advice, Dr. Anasuya Jagadevi Jagadesan from University of Cyberjaya. Stay on the line. We've got more questions for you. And of course, stay tuned to Enterprise BizBytes, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It's Enterprise BizBytes. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. Here with me are
Arvini Brunch.
Yes.
Lily Chai.
Okay, of course, Arvin's joining us virtually. We're talking about Gallup's latest global emotions report that show that a negative experience index has been pushed to a new high in 2021. How can you bounce back from feeling negative? What can organizations do to support this? You know, we've been speaking to Dr. Anasuya Jagadevi Jagadesan, Dean of Psychology and Social Sciences at University of Cyberjaya. She's given us some practical tips and she's still on the line with us. So just want to ask you, Dr. Anasuya, you know, research also showed that women are more stressed than men about their finances, especially when women have been deprived of equal pay compared to their male counterparts during the pandemic. What role can companies play in mitigating their female staff's stress levels?
Boils down to children. So again, if you have childcare, and you know, unfortunately, we are in Malaysia and our Asian cultures, our cultural norms are still very strong. And yeah, you know, no matter what or how little or how much the wife is earning, you know, wives do take the bulk of childcare. I mean, if the child is sick, the person who's expected to go home and look after the kids is the wife. You know, whether you have enough money or you don't have enough money, the person who's out of pocket it comes from is more likely the wife than the husband. Given that there are some very good husbands out there who also do it, I'm not trying to generalize too much, but in the majority of most conservative Malaysian families, you get that dynamic where the wife picks up a lot more of the burden, including some of the financial burden of, you know, of managing finances. Now we're going into, you know, harder times where you've got issue, you know, budgeting. So one thing is maybe help students, help staff understand budgeting. If the company can afford to help them with childcare, again, somebody to even babysit the kids or look after the kids at certain times, that, you know, like especially crunch times, you know, when you're expecting people to work late for a few days and stuff like that, you know, having extra time might help a lot. Other than teaching, but other than having something on budgeting for women, this may be a little out there, but if you are a building nowadays in Malaysia, I mean, having something like a vegetable garden where your staff can go and get the vegetables, the rooftop vegetable gardens. I mean, the government has been talking about chickens and all that, but what is plausible is if you are even a small company or a big company to start having like some vegetable plantations within your house where your staff, it's just for your staff. And, you know, you have crops that generate a lot of crops all the time. That may be plausible for your staff to help them out a little bit here and there. I don't know whether the company could even do bulk groceries or, you know, buy in bulk so that, you know, to help out with some of your staff, especially if you're talking about in factory-like settings, where that would really be a benefit to staff, that if you could get bulk buying for the staff and then they buy it, you know, for management, you know, kind of like how you used to have with unions and corporate unions, making sure that the savings actually does go to the people involved. I mean, those are things that can be done.
And what can women do to reduce their stress when faced with such issues?
I can answer that in two words: self-care. Okay, self-care comes from doing a lot of things. It's making sure you have hobbies that are for you, and you don't feel guilty when you have those hobbies. So, you know, and your hobbies are not like, you know, doing things that will actually, you know, support the family or support other people. But no, it's just for you, for yourself, and you enjoy doing it because you are important and you are, you know, and you are as valuable as anybody else in your family. And your time and your health and your well-being and your happiness is as important as anybody else's in your family. And so that's where self-care comes in. So, so some of the things that people can do to reduce stress is exercise. If you know me, then that does sound a little bit hypocritical, but it's true that you do need to exercise. You also need to, find ways that, you know, that relax you. What is your personal choice of relaxation? People do yoga, people do some classes, you know, there's a tension release exercises, there's different activities that are run that can help women reduce stress. It is actually quite important for women to meet up with friends who are also women. I mean, have a woman's night. You know, it's not, you know, just go out with your friends, have a coffee, you know, have a chat, and, you know, it's no stress. It's all just women talk, and it is important. It's, you know, it is a way that really relaxes and keeps us mentally healthy and grounded to have these discussions with women our own age. That's an important thing to do. some other things that women can do to relax is, I mean, I love massages and that's something which I choose to do. Other people don't like it and that's fine, but find something that you like. I mean, some people like to go for facials. Some people like to go for, you know, to do their hair, you know, whatever you like, and find something to do that you enjoy and that, you know, that you can feel that you are pampered and you're valued. And those are small things you can do to reduce stress. Now, what about daily things that can be reduced to reduce stress? Like I've mentioned, exercise, breathing, you know, take some time to breathe. And when I say breathe, I don't mean it's like you stop breathing. Of course, we breathe every day, but be conscious of breathing and, you know, take deep breaths every now and then. Look at nature, look at trees. It helps. You know, you just sit down for a while outside, look at trees, have a tea, have a drink. Take time to be you. Take time for you because you deserve that time. That's one of the biggest ways. Women, there are lots of things that you can do to relax. Some people like knitting. Some people like painting. You know, choose something that you enjoy doing.
On that thought, right? And it was also found that Malaysian workers spotted a vicious cycle of burnout, poor work-life balance, and low productivity. Employees with poor productivity were more likely to feel a poor sense of work-life balance. Is it possible for us to recover from burnout?
We recover from burnout, like I mentioned, with self-care. But there's also another thing for burnout is that people go on holiday. That helps for some people, you know, that day they go on holiday and then they reduce their burnout in that way. Some people's burnout are so extreme, they have to change job or move away from the job for some time. But then they find themselves being followed by burnout. The burnout still seems to be happening in another job. How is that? Now, this is a very interesting scenario where you change your job, but you haven't changed your style. You haven't changed how you think about your job and how you think about your role in your life and your role in your job or your work in your life. Burnout means that you have put so much of emphasis on a job that you forget that you have a life and that your life is as important, if not more important, than any job that you have there. You've put so much emotion in other people that you forget to put emotion into yourself. You forget that, you know, you can only give what you have inside. If you've depleted everything inside, then there's nothing else to give. And at that point, you get burnout. Taking a holiday is great. You know, it helps for a while. But then, so you have to find sources that replenish, you know, from when you give to people. If you work with an NGO, if you're a teacher, if you're a nurse, if you're a doctor, even if you're a lawyer, if you're in any industry where your work involves helping or giving other people and you think, you know, my work is so important. Yeah, but I am so important as well. You are so important as well. So what replenishes? People who are very lucky to have supportive families, sometimes the family can replenish. But the truth of the matter is most of us have families that deplete inner strength, that have, you know, some, not everybody, but some people in the families may be highly toxic and having them is actually more stress. So burnout is not just because of work. It can also be related to family and family life. So the balancing between work-life balance is true. You need to have work-life balance. But the biggest thing that needs to be balanced is your view of how you value yourself, how you value other people, and how you value your work. So it's not just work-life. It's three areas. It's your life, your work, and the people around you. That would be a work-life balance. And if you can balance those three, then you're okay. So if you are burnout, one of the main things is how do you replenish? And to find that when you come back to work, what keeps replenishing you? So it's not just, oh, I only have a holiday, then I can replenish. No, it's that I got burnout, I'm better now. Now, how do I avoid burning out? I avoid burning out by not keeping to the habits that created the burnout, where I value everything else, where I put all my energy in everyone else, and I do not replenish my own resources and my own mental health and my own self.
Thank you so much for your time. That was Dr. Anasuya Jagdevi Jagadesan from the University of Cyberjaya. I like a point, right? I mean, you can't, my analogy is you can't pour from an empty cup, right? And you've got to do these things to replenish yourselves, right? You know, some people like to work from home. Some people like to work from Ipoh. I don't know. You know, it's that kind of thing. We need to take these little moments, breaks, just to recuperate. What are your strategies, Arv?
Strategies. Music, I think that's an immediate go-to. Yeah. Good music. So I have a playlist of songs that really, really perk me up. And it's like a curated playlist. So anytime I listen to these things, hopefully they have that dopamine hit, you know, that endorphin hit. But other than that, music, movies, some form of entertainment, just escapism to take my mind off things. Those seem to work best. Just temporary relief. They don't have long-term effects, but these help immediately when I'm like overly stressed out.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Okay, it's like in between, we need to sort of recuperate every so often. It's not like, oh, I'm looking forward to the holiday. In between, we need to recuperate, right?
Yeah.
And then now your movies has become like part of work. You know, every movie has to be looked at with like work because of your other show. What about you, Lily?
Having colleagues like you guys.
Waiting for that opportunity.
Brownie points.
I mean, Frida was dancing right before the show. I think creating that environment from within, I think from the team internally, it radiates their energy and that reduces stress level. It puts a smile on my face and that takes away a lot of stress from me.
Okay, so what about the truth? So like honestly, now what removes your stress?
I think that is a side conversation y'all can talk about later. Anyway, this is a long weekend, so hopefully, you know, you guys are also taking time to recuperate. You know, this conversation has been about, you know, of course, the index that has come out that, you know, negativity has on the rise, but we can do things about it. There's some ways around it, and hopefully this weekend will help you. Of course, you know, Arvind Yuvaraj together with Lily Chai. But after the news at 1, it's the Breakfast Girl replay. Moi, born Florence Tan, left Malaysia when she was 18 to study in the US after completing a secondary education at the Guantanamo Junior Science College. She's designed and built advanced equipment for NASA spacecraft and rovers. So we're going to be asking about experience growing up and studying in Malaysia, her work in NASA, as well as women's involvement in STEM fields. After the news at 1, have a wonderful long weekend. You've been listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Frida Liu, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.